If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret, searching for the sound. This is the Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
Before we get to today's show, I wanted to tell you all about the new SoundStream app. It is the new home for all things sound podcast, and now you're able to listen to the perfect blend of music you'd expect from us 24/7. Jam bands and more, much more. New episodes of the podcast arrive at least 3 times a week, and now you can listen to your favorite artists and bands all the time in a perfect music stream. Just hit the play button and away you go. You'll be boogieing in no time. You can make requests, offer shoutouts, and even let us know when your birthday is, all from the SoundStream app. Get the app at thesoundstream.com or in the Apple or Google Play Store. The show starts now.
Thank you.
Listening to Sam Bush's cover of John Hartford's On the Road. On June 26th, Lo-Hi Records will be releasing On the Road, a tribute to John Hartford. For the uninitiated, John, a musician and a bona fide artist, was a genre-bending genius who many credit for planting the seeds of the current jamgrass movement and what many consider Americana music. His accomplishments are vast, and his contribution to roots music are well documented. So it just made sense that Lo-Hi Records put together this tribute filled with so many prominent artists who have Hartford to thank for setting up the scene of which they are a part. Bands like Leftover Salmon, Railroad Earth, the infamous String Dusters, Horseshoes and Hand Grenades have all contributed covers to this collection that includes many more great bands and artists. I've been listening to the collection for what feels like months since I begged the publicist to share it with me, but only recently did I catch up with Chad Staley, the man responsible for curating the sonic deliciousness that is On the Road, a tribute to John Hartford. I was curious how Chad, a talented musician in his own right, got involved in the project, and that is indeed where our conversation started.
Well, you know, I'm really glad you dig in the release, Ira. Everyone, I'm really proud of how it all came together. And really, this story kind of starts like over 20 years ago. A mutual friend of mine and Leftover Salmon started tour managing Leftover Salmon. A guy named Johnny Farr, who I knew from some Deadhead circles, some Grateful Dead touring friends of mine from the East Coast. And Johnny started tour managing Leftover Salmon, and I knew of Leftover Salmon. I lived in Colorado for 25 years. When I moved there in 93, Leftover Salmon was already making a name for themselves in the scene. And, you know, but really started to get to know those guys around 1998 or so, after our friends started tour managing them. And Vince and Drew and the band were already, you know, not already, but they were, you know, they were covering John Hartford songs their entire careers before Leftover Salmon and then Leftover Salmon. That's how I got introduced to John Hartford, was through Leftover Salmon playing their songs, his songs. And, you know, I really felt like what Leftover Salmon was doing on the roots music scene, and then what I started to learn about John Hartford and what he was doing. And, you know, I always credit Leftover Salmon with really kind of being founders of the new jam grass scene. You know, they kind of took what Newgrass Revival and what the Earl Scruggs Review was doing and pushed it in a really cool rock and roll kind of modern place, you know? And then I feel like, you know, bands like Infamous String Dusters, Yonder Mountain String Band, you know, et cetera, they, I believe, were all inspired by what Leftover Salmon was doing in that scene they founded. And of course, those bands started doing John Hartford songs. So, you know, I started to think about this quite a while ago, like how cool. I always felt like that scene should be married together, all those bands on some kind of release. A lot of it was based in Colorado, which I felt was like part of it. And it was like, I want to help be a catalyst to bring all these bands together on release. And really felt like John Hartford was the perfect catalyst and kind of common ground. You know, he's really, I would credit him with kind of what we call Americana music now, you know, because John did so much. So, yeah, I mean, that was the start of it, and then started kind of reaching out. I think like 10 years ago already, I wanted to start this project, but then we started Lo-Hi Records about 5 years ago, and this was a thing that, an idea that came up right at the beginning, and we finally started reaching out about 2 years ago to the bands about it.
It's interesting that you mentioned Leftover Salmon, because
sure, you hear about John Hartford, and you know, you've seen the movie Brother, Where Art Thou, and you know that he won the Grammys for his participation in that soundtrack and everything. But for me, it is Up on the Hill where they do the boogie, which really, and Leftover Salmon's version where Vince yeah. goes crazy.
Yeah.
Was my introduction to John Hartford. Like,
yeah,
I can't deny that. And so it's really cool that for you as well, that was in many ways the introduction. And of course, subsequently, you know, with Dusters covering their tunes and Yonder covering his tunes and such, it's just great.
It's just great. It's just, it's a thread, I think, that ties that whole scene together, that ties, you know, the music that is played by those bands. You know, and it's really cool because Sam Bush agreed to be part of this, which meant so much. You know, Sam and the Newgrass Revival in the 70s were playing with John, and then they remained friends up until John passed. So to have a legacy artist like Sam Bush on it, and then the Traveling McCurries, you know, Ronnie was one of the last musicians to actually get to play music with John before he passed. Just today, Rolling Stone published an interview about this release, and also the Hartford family is doing a release that's coming out on the same day. Oddly enough, we had been communicating about this project. I had been communicating about this project with the Hartford family since we, you know, hatched the idea, and we kind of lost communication for a little bit, and then found out about 3 months ago that they were helping curate a project of old fiddle, well, not old, I think some of it John had written close to his last days. He had a bunch of unpublished, unrecorded fiddle tunes that are also coming out on June 26th. So it's our tribute album and theirs of these fiddle songs coming out on the same day. And Rolling Stone just did an amazing article today about John's legacy, John's history in music, this project, the Fiddle Tunes project. They interviewed Todd Snyder, who of course I work with and worked with in Hardworking Americans, and I actually manage Todd as well. It's really cool to see this attention and spotlight again being shown on John, just because he contributed so much, whether people know it or not.
What do you think it is about him? Was it the lyrics? Was it his ability to talk about, you know, social political issues, or just having a good time, or talking about marijuana so prevalently? What was it about him that made him so relatable to not just the audience that he had at the time, but a younger audience like Leftover and like String Dusters and like so many other artists? What was it about him?
I think it's all those things you mentioned, Ira. Really, you said it all right there. You know, Hartford was a Renaissance man. Like you said, I mean, he was writing songs in like 1970, openly singing about marijuana. I mean, that was massively taboo then. So he was just a leader on so many fronts. And I think really he was just such an infectious character, you know? I mean, he exuded freedom and happiness and like just kind of going with the flow, you know? The last time I saw John perform, he had done a project, an album with Pete Seeger and David Grisman called Retrograss. Mm-hmm. And Leftover Salmon was playing the Fillmore in Denver. I think this was 2000. This was one of John's last performances in public. And Leftover Salmon was doing a two-set show, and Retrograss was doing a set in between the two sets. And so, you know, it's a stand-up rock and roll show, 3,500 capacity. That's a tough room to step in between two Leftover Salmon sets and perform an unplugged, you know, Retrograss set, so to speak. And wouldn't you know it, like two songs in to their set, the fire alarm starts going off in the Fillmore. And it was a false alarm, and the venue knew that, but they couldn't get it to shut down right away. And I noticed Grisman was getting quite rattled and annoyed by it all. And Hartford, in true John Hartford fashion, starts to hear it. He was in the middle of singing a song, and he's like, you know, I don't know what that is, boys, but let's get in tune with that. Let's sing along to the buzz, you know? And he just started improvising a song in the middle of it all and just nailed it, you know. And to me, that was like, that was John Hartford. That was his life in that 20-second clip of him making that happen. That was him through and through. So he was such a pioneer on so many fronts and a great songwriter.
Yeah, an incredible songwriter, right? I mean, that's what it comes down to. I mean, you could have the personality, but if you don't have the songs or the breadth of songs, it doesn't really matter how cool you are, right?
Yeah, for sure, man. You know, the fact that the guy could get up there with just a fiddle or a banjo and a tap board and just hold people in the palm of his hand for several hours, there's not many that can do that.
How hard was it? I mean, we know that many of these bands, and certainly Leftover Salmon, we've mentioned them, but how hard was it to get these bands to contribute to this project? Was that fairly easy for you?
I mean, honestly, I've developed friendships with most of these artists and even their manager through the years. About a decade, Vince Herman and I, Vince plays in Leftover Salmon. Vince and I played in a band called Great American Taxi together. We actually recorded a song of John's called Get No Better. That's out on an album we put out. But just through friendships. And then I think also that, like, as soon as I started pitching this to the managers and to artists and to these friends, you know, everybody, I think, saw that this was something that needed to happen. And then, you know, we, part of this whole project too, we had decided with Lo-Hi Records that we didn't want to profit or try to profit. I mean, profiting in the record business these days is another story. But if we're able to generate some profit off of this, we didn't want to keep it. We wanted to do something good with it because we're using John's songs. It's this amazing community of hardworking musicians that have come together to contribute to this. So we had made a deal with everyone that, hey, let's contribute any proceeds to Music Cares, which is an extension of the Grammys Foundation. And they take care of artists who need, you know, healthcare, mental health care, financial help, et cetera. And I mean, you know, this was planned well before COVID, but now with no touring and musicians and artists really being stretched thin, I think it's more important now than ever. So everybody was all about it and really gave generously to the project. And we're just so thankful for how people were just showed so much love in these recordings and really, I think, paid John great homage. And a lot of them put their own spin on these songs too.
Yeah. Did you suggest what songs people would do, or did they kind of come up with it on their own?
No, you know, I started reaching out to people, and as I got commitments from various bands, artists, managers, et cetera, I said, all right, you know, let me know. I just wanted to hear from them first what song or songs they wanted to record. And it was amazing. It speaks to the synchronicity and the serendipity and the providence of the whole project. It was like, everyone would come up with a song that hadn't been chosen. There was not one instance where I had to say, no, that song's gone, it's been chosen, you know? Mm. And like, it just worked out perfectly right up until the end. So a quick story, I had Sam Bush, of course, was one of the first we had invited and asked. And initially we got a thumbs up. And it was sounding like Sam would probably record the song On the Road, which Sam has performed live forever, etc. But Sam also does a few other Hartford songs really, really well. Well, over the course of about a year, Sam and his manager kind of were not responding. And I thought, well, maybe they were politely passing on it. I know Sam even at one point has thought about doing an entire Hartford tribute himself, etc. So I always, in the music business, have taken no comment or no response as a polite way of passing, right? And so then I had reached out to Danny Barnes, who I really feel like, you know, is an extension of Hartford spirit in so many ways. And Danny said, yeah, I'm in for sure. I'd like to do a song, just me and the banjo, which I felt was so perfect. And I swear I missed it, right? He said he wanted to do On the Road, and I gave it the thumbs up. I thought he mentioned a different song. Anyways, Danny records the song, turns it in, and of course, Murphy's Law, like 2 weeks later, I get an email back from Sam Bush's manager saying, Sam's in, he's going to record on the road. I was like, oh man, you've got to be kidding me. And tried in a roundabout way to ask if Sam would consider doing anything else. No, and I didn't say anything about Danny having recorded the song. Well, then I'm talking to the Lo-Hi Records team, who is my partner, Jim Brooks, and Tim Carbone's the other partner in Lo-Hi Records. Tim's the fiddle player from Railroad Earth. We start talking about this little bit of a conundrum, and it was just like the sky opened up, the sunbeams came shooting down. It was like, let's make lemonade out of this. This is perfect. This is saying, let's call that the release on the road. And we'll bookend the release with the full Sam Bush version starting the album and just Danny and the banjo at the end, which is kind of like a nice bow on top of it, we felt. And then we ended up calling it that. And it just seemed to make sense to us because all these musicians who contributed to this recording, you know, they're musicians who make a living on the road. They're not top 40 artists. They're not million record sellers, platinum, gold record sellers. They make a living out there on the road. And John did that. You know, I'm sure John could have lived comfortably off of the royalties on Gentle On My Mind. I mean, that was like the 16th most played song on radio in the 20th century, to give you an idea. I mean, there's got to be some mailbox money coming in from that, right? But John toured up until the day he died, sick with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma for 20 years. He fought that disease. So it just felt like it was an homage to the musicians themselves who contributed this and are such hardworking people. So it just all kind of came together in a really special sort of way.
Were you surprised by any of the song choices? I mean, we mentioned Up on the Hill where they do the boogie, and the way the Band of Heathens does it is so different from Leftover Salmon's version or even the original version. I mean, they really slow it down almost to it's almost a slow dance number now. Were you surprised by any of the contributions at all?
Yes and no. I mean, I knew there was going to be some really unique takes on stuff. I really love Leftover Salmon's version of the Category Stomp. I really felt like they were one of the only ones on this project that kind of brought out that psychedelic side to Hartford. You know, the Band of Heathens really was unique and very cool take. I knew it would be special, but Todd Snyder's version of I Wish We Had Our Time Again, I really felt the way he did that with harmonica, et cetera, and just a real troubadour approach to it. Like, that really emphasized Hartford's singer-songwriter side and troubadourian side, you know. I love Keller Williams' version and that's with Traveling McCurry's. I love how they did a really slow part to Granny Won't You Smoke Some Marijuana and then kick it into just total butt-kicking high gear bluegrass, you know?
Yeah, Keller's another one of those guys who's very much embodies the spirit, I think, of Hartford, right? And all the talent that he had. It certainly comes through in this cover, but more generally in Keller's music that spans kind of the genre landscape in many ways the way Hartford does.
Absolutely, you know, it's interesting Keller kind of being on the forefront of looping. You know, really, like, Hartford and his tap board is kind of like an early precursor to looping, you know, for a solo artist.
Yeah.
And, Keller totally carries that spirit. And then, you know, last year I was part of starting a new band project called the High Hawks that includes Vince from Salmon and Tim Carbone from Railroad Earth and Adam Gruhl from Horseshoes and Hand Grenades. And then it's the rhythm section from Great American Taxi and myself. And we, a bunch of us, had wanted to do a project together for a long time. And we were in the studio back in February to cut our first album. And we knew we were going to contribute to this Hartford project. And we really wanted to do something out of the box. And that Wawpaw song is kind of an outlier of Hartford's. And what we did, we actually built that track like a, like how you'd build a hip hop track. The piano part I played one time through of that and re-recorded it and then looped it through. And then like Tim and our drummer Will and Brian, our bass player, they did all the ham bone tapping on their thighs. And then we looped that together. And we did a few other loops like that. We did a drum overdub towards the end. And like, because we felt like that spoke, like if Hartford was still going, he'd probably be getting into some of that, you know?
Yeah, so totally.
We tried to take it in a little different direction and add a little fun to the whole mix.
It's such a great collection. And I encourage anybody who is into bluegrass or newgrass or whatever that, you know, it is into music actually, because it is, I think John's work sort of is well beyond any genre. It's so amazing. And he's such a fascinating character. Is there anything that, you know, that you came away with after working on this project and working with these artists that really left you with something aside from the things that you already knew about John and his music?
You know, Ira, I think it just, you know, I was strengthened in my, what I've always believed about this kind of roots music, Americana music, jamgrass, bluegrass, kind of festival community that is, you know, and I really feel like, you know, I kind of mentioned I toured following the Grateful Dead around for some years. When Garcia passed away, there was a big void for a lot of people. And that's kind of when I discovered this Americana and jamgrass and bluegrass scene. I started going to bluegrass festivals and really felt like I had found an extension of what existed on Grateful Dead tour, which was this really strong community of people that, you know, really have been embodying for decades where we're at right now as a country in this great awakening of treating people equally and giving everyone a voice, et cetera. And just people who really care about humanity, you know, and just seeing all these amazing artists, like at the drop of a hat, just say, yeah, I'm in, you know, Lo-Hi Records paid the expense for them to go record. That's all the label paid for. Everyone contributed their time and talents and efforts to do that. And for all these working musicians who spend 200 days on the road, it's a big ask, you know, and no one blinked and everyone just dove in head first and contributed. So it just really re-strengthened this belief and hope I've had in this community of ours, you know.
That's a great story. We'll leave it there. And thank you for putting it together. We will follow up, I'm sure, on other projects. You have your hand in so many projects that we adore. So thanks for taking the time on this and thanks for doing what you do. And then we'll be in touch down the road. Okay.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Ira. Thanks, dude. Appreciate you, man. Great to connect with you.
There you have it. Everything you wanted to know about On the Road, a tribute to John Hartford, and some great insight and stories about John himself from Chad Staley. You'll want to check out this collection as soon as it's available on June 26th from Lo-Hi Records, but in the interim, you should go back and listen to Hartford's music. A good place to start is with the album Aeroplane. Before we leave you, have a listen to another track off of On the Road, a tribute to John Hartford. Here are Leftover Salmon and the psychedelic-infused Category Stomp.
Country discotheque and soft rock, contemporary abstract expressionism, word movie, flower power, hard driving, neo blue, stone billy, dirty boogie, freaked out and coming on a jelly bean, psychedelic stone. Cross the fingers on the end of your nose. Drag your elbows down on the floor. Turn the
somersault, and then you do it once more. And you're back in the middle with a do-si-do. Well, a little more side, a little less dough. Down on your belly with your knees up tight. Roll out the door till you come out of sight. Well, you put your right foot on your left, then you bring your left foot down. With a hand in your pocket and a chin up high, you turn about halfway around. You don't do the double shuffle or the Jackson drag. You might be moving in an unhip bag. It's a folk country discotheque, it's soft rock, contemporary, abstract expressionism, word, movie, flower, power, hard driving, Neil Blue, Stone Belly, Dirty Boogie, freaked out, and coming on a jelly bean, psychedelic song.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. For more, visit thesoundpodcast.com.